You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Friday, April 18th. Candidates running for various local positions in Oregon's upcoming regular district election answered community questions at a forum this week. The event was hosted by the Astoria branch of the American Association of University Women and included candidates running for the Position 4 seat on the Astoria School District Board. The school board candidates emphasized a student-first approach, but also spoke to challenges the district faces. Katie Frankowitz reports.
The candidates noted growing budgetary challenges as costs outpace revenue, and ongoing uncertainty about the future of state and federal funding sources and resources. When asked what potential board members should do in the face of these issues, Tyler Lingstad, the recreation manager for Astoria's Parks and Recreation Department, said one priority is to increase enrollment. He also pointed to possible cost-saving measures.
Another thing that I believe that we need to focus on is the possibility of exploring school building consolidation. We need to evaluate whether the Gray School campus is financially responsible, and if it's worthwhile to have district staff in that building, or if we could move those staff into one of the other school buildings that we already have.
He said the district could also look at optimizing student transportation. Lingstad is a graduate of Astoria High School and has a stepchild enrolled in the school district. He said his experience managing large budgets would be an asset to the district. Holly Marsh is a small business owner. She has two children who attend school in the district. She and her kids are neurodivergent. Marsh said it makes her think about who is missing from the table when decisions and discussions about the school district occur. One of her budget priorities is teacher salaries.
We want our teachers to feel supported and that they're paid well, because then they stay in our district and they feel good about doing their jobs, which again makes our students like have a really great experience while they're at school.
She said there may also be grants the district has yet to explore, and that the board needs to be looking at every, quote, nook and cranny of its expenses. Susan Prettyman Hartel said her priority is making sure the district does not cut personnel.
Our current budget, about 85% of that goes towards paying for salaries and personnel. And my priority would be making sure that we don't have to cut any of our personnel. If we have to cut positions, hopefully we don't have to cut any teachers or any educators. I agree that we need to look at how we educate students. We need to provide the resources and supports that educators need in order to provide a more trauma-informed education. And I think that we need to prioritize diversity, equity, and inclusion and justice work as well. I think that that is something that is under attack, and we need to make that a priority in our schools.
Carl Helberg was an investigator with the fisheries arm of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and served with the U.S. Coast Guard. He and Prettyman Hartel have served on the school district's budget committee.
We won't know what our budget looks like right now because the state funding and the federal funding is uncertain.
Still, he added,
but the priority has to be education. Education, education. We talk about a concept called the equity lens. There's no bigger equity lens you can give any child than a solid education.
Helberg pointed to the work he's done over his careers that have given him experience in leading people and developing and executing plans. He has two children in the school district. All four candidates were aligned on the need to increase attendance and support students as well as their families. Several community questions probed at the candidates' stances on diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, and whether civics should be taught. All of the candidates said they believed it was important for students to understand civics and that they supported diversity, equity, and inclusion broadly, particularly when it came to equal access to education. Position 4 is the only contested seat on the Astoria School District Board. Incumbents Grace Lehman and Jenna Rickenbach are running unopposed for their seats on the board. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
A full recording of the candidates' forum can be found at kmun.org/podcasts and click on the Special Programs button. For the upcoming fiscal year, Clatsop Community College is looking at eliminating various administrative positions to address funding challenges. At a meeting last week, college president Jared Hoag said one reason for the necessary cuts is a drop in full-time equivalent enrollment. Oregon community colleges receive state funding from the Community College Support Fund, which uses a formula based on that enrollment figure. Hoag said one likely reason for the enrollment drop at Clatsop is that the college had fewer course offerings in collaboration with the U.S. Coast Guard and Tongue Point Seamanship Program this year due to curriculum update requirements from the National Maritime Center. Hoag says he expects those courses to come back next year. In addition to the staff cuts, other cost-saving measures the college is looking at include the non-renewal of various software contracts and a delay in hiring a full-time historic preservation and restoration faculty member. The draft budget still needs to be reviewed and approved by the College Budget Committee, then it will go before the College Board for adoption in June. A new study that looks at Seaside's housing supply and buildable land shows a significant need for low-income rentals. The assessment shows that rental housing demand far exceeds the supply in Seaside for lowest-income households. Clatsop County has the highest rate of unhoused individuals per capita in the state, and Seaside has the highest rate in the county. Nearly 1,500 housing units in Seaside are vacant, making up almost a third of the city's total units. Of those vacant units, 90% are second homes and short-term rentals. Going forward, the city says it may consider offering incentives to property owners of vacant, unused lots to sell for development, or the city says it may adjust policy to extend building heights and add more mixed-use housing options. These stories come to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Bay City City Councilors approved an increase to the city's water rates last week. For most Bay City residents, the base water rate will more than double, effective next month. The increase comes as the maintenance costs for Bay City's system have exceeded the revenue generated by the current rate. City Manager David McCall has been investigating the fee increase for most of last year. He noted that Bay City's base rate had long been well below the North Coast average and statewide average. Bay City City Councilor Kathleen Baker said that she understands the impacts of the rate increase, especially on citizens with fixed incomes, but she added that the system needed to be maintained and updated, and it was only fair that the cost be spread across all ratepayers. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Oregon's 2025 ocean salmon seasons have now been finalized. The Pacific Fisheries Management Council made the official recommendations earlier this week, but final approval of the seasons is expected in mid-May by the U.S. Secretary of Commerce. The recreational all-salmon except coho season opened from Cape Falcon to Humbug Mountain last month. Chinook retention will be allowed through mid-July and during September and October. From June 7th onward, anglers may keep only one Chinook as part of the two salmon per day bag limit. For the month of October, the daily bag limit is reduced to one salmon. Oregon Ocean Commercial Salmon Fisheries from Cape Falcon to Humbug Mountain will continue through the end of May, and then again from September through the end of October. Officials say conservation concerns were the primary constraints on Chinook fisheries south of Cape Falcon, and they say more abundant Columbia Basin hatchery coho salmon and Oregon coastal natural coho abundances will allow for good fishing opportunities this year. You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org.